This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Oh, is back Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. We got Magic Mac Robinson on the board. We got Sweet Young Thang. Jax Gregory behind the glass. We got Meredith Kane in the 2020s. Hi, how you doing? Happy almost Thanksgiving.
Did you forget Jax's name? What happened there?
No, there was just a delay because I was like, what am I going to say after Jax's name? Oh, yeah. When I did 2020 and then a Thanksgiving thing. And then football.
We call him Jax Judkins around these parts.
We
these
do.
Days.
That's what we do. Yeah. Yeah. Don't you forget about that. Not that we talk about that.
People
allegedly.
Don't forget.
People don't forget.
How we doing? We ready for Thanksgiving?
I am. I'm always ready. I will say, I don't know what's going on with me. I'm not as excited as I normally am for the holidays this season. So there's something broken deep within me.
Sure.
But other than I'm still pretty excited for the holidays.
They don't count as real holidays to me. They're a nice time off. It's good to be with family.
Why not? Why are they not real holidays?
I don't know. Maybe I'm in the same spot you're at. Maybe I'm just not. I'm not festive enough for it right now.
What's a real holiday?
Christmas is a real holiday. Okay. Easter is a real holiday. Okay. There's the heavy hitters.
Uh-huh.
Thanksgiving's been trying to listen. Thanksgiving never fights for itself. Why am I going to try to fight for Thanksgiving this year?
But, you know, see, here's the
never
thing.
Never fights for itself.
Here's the thing. Thanksgiving is the most understated of all the holidays. That's also what might make it the best. I've got 1,000 bad Christmas movies to find the 5 good ones that are out there.
Sure.
All right? With Thanksgiving, I got Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and we don't talk about anything else. Don't have to, because we have the perfect movie.
I don't have to. I just watch 10 straight hours of football.
And, well, see, but to me, that's the other big thing. I'll be honest with you, Christmas Day basketball in the NBA.
Oh, it's not it anymore. Christmas is now the NFL. It used to be Christmas Day, NBA, and Chinese food for myself when I was single and I was living in cities where I didn't have family around, because no one travels for Thanksgiving, by the way. But it's not it anymore.
I don't have the tradition, though, of watching sports on Christmas. That, to me, is a day that is reserved for just family, not distractions. The great thing about Thanksgiving.
I guess I always live with distractions.
All 3 days, and yes, we celebrate this bad boy all 3 days. The best thing about it is that family willingly says football is not a distraction. It's part of the thing.
Can I give you a semi hot take that I don't mean to be a hot take? It's just my life existence, because this is how this works around here.
You may.
I always got more into Black Friday than I did Thanksgiving.
Oh my God.
Like, all my core memories growing up is like waiting in line, jostling at like Best Buy to fight for a little bit of a deal on a TV. Like, that's my holiday is not spent around Thanksgiving eating turkey or anything with my family.
That's a village in orange origin story, by the way.
Jostling. Well, I think we know why I'm more cheap later on in life. Is it was jostling for deals at Best Buy growing up as a kid, waiting in line at 5 a.m. with my mom so we could just save a couple bucks, because we loved a good deal.
Like,
still love a good deal.
We're not hosting this year, but we do, because our house is just too small. Hopefully again next year, should we buy a house next year, we'll see. But we're still going. We got Mama's in the morning, then we got her family side in the afternoon. Like, man, it's perfect. And by the way, the 3 days off after which again, a sign of my privilege in life, I mean, it's a four-day weekend, and it starts with all the food, and then you spend the next 3 days echoing the first day of it.
You think it's odd that we get the day after Thanksgiving off because it gets Thursday and Friday?
No,
but then,
I don't.
No, but then we Christmas is the middle of the week this year.
The boss is in the room. Don't ruin this for me.
No, I'm complaining about Christmas. Give me a second. Christmas is a Wednesday, so we just have Christmas off, and that's it? There's no lead up to Christmas off. There's no post Christmas. We just have Christmas this
year. Unless it falls on the weekend, then we get the extra day off either before or after.
Yeah, but a Wednesday is screwing so many people up in this equation. Yeah. Like you do realize we'll be working Christmas Eve, and then we'll be working after Christmas Day. I think you're actually off that
day. Yes, you will.
Yeah, I think
you will be.
He turned it into his own holiday.
It's called forethought, okay? I've been addicted to these four-day Thanksgiving holidays, so now I'm turning Christmas into a five-day holiday this year. And then blaming it on pretty much everybody else. Because it's like, I mean, everybody's putting stuff on Monday. Guess I have to take the day off. All rats. I actually am super excited.
Yeah.
We're doing our own turkey after Thanksgiving because everybody gobbled up all the really good food for the other two holidays. So I'm going to make a Thanksgiving turkey this weekend. But we're going to have a lot of Thanksgiving talk. We got a lot of Ohio State. Initially, we're going to lead Ohio State, Michigan. And Phelps kind of clued us in on this. I have no idea how this is not been found by anyone, but Jason Lockenfora for the Washington Post wrote an article on the big coaching names out there. This is 3 days ago. Now, doesn't say a lot about the Cleveland Browns, but he does go into Mike Vrabel and basically talks about how Vrabel would be in very serious contention here if the Browns let Stefanski go. But the most interesting part of this entire thing is a parenthetical in the middle of this Mike Vrabel thing where it goes, some coaches and executives who know Stefanski think he'd be cool getting out of that cesspool now, being home for the holidays, and getting to prepare for future interviews elsewhere.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Seems kind of like a bombshell there.
Seems like it should have been the lead.
Yeah, for like every show all week.
Where was this?
Also, where was this? How is this the thing coming off the Pittsburgh game, which I think is really interesting? Like,
well, okay,
did Jason write it like last Wednesday night and then released it this week? I'm just curious.
Does Stefanski see what we all see, that there's no out for next year? And now he's putting together the idea. Yeah, he's making a lot of money. He'll continue to make a lot of money with another team. But if they just run this thing back and continue running this thing back next year, they're not in a position to have a deep postseason run. The reason why they traded for Deshaun Watson, Nick, was simple. It's because Stefanski wanted to play for titles. He doesn't want to play to be a 500 head coach. He wants deep postseason runs. And I think he's hip to the idea that he's not going to be able to do it here.
All right. Can I be entirely honest about this? I'm having trouble taking it at face value.
You just don't believe Lockenfora.
Well, I don't think Jason would ever admit this because reporters don't admit this kind of stuff. Jason
That's a dangerous accusation you're going to make.
Then I'll make it.
Make it.
Jason very clearly has an axe to grind with these Cleveland Browns. He was incredibly critical of the Deshaun Watson trade. He has never stopped being critical of the Deshaun trade.
It used to be, Nick, when we did the pregame shows years ago, it used to be, what is Lockenfora going to say on Sunday?
Yeah, but that's when they were truly a cesspool. So, like, So like part of me is like, part of me is really having trouble. Like when he refers to it as cesspool, is that what those coaches and executives that allegedly know Stefanski are saying? Or is that Jason editorializing his own work because he works in Baltimore and doesn't like the Browns organization?
Well, also,
like I feel a weird thing to protect the Browns organization here against a guy who clearly is not unbiased on the subject.
It's good you put the guardrails up because, and that's not the accusation I thought you were going to say too. By the way, I thought you were just going to flat out say he was just making it up. That's what I thought you were going to do.
That has been an accusation against Jason. I have not made that.
That's what I thought you were going to do.
I mean, La Conferma was his nickname for a lot of. That's a real thing. Like I know a couple reporters who've said like Jason La Conferma was what they called him. He would be like, he's the Danny Shelton jump on pile guy. Again, Jason has always been very kind to me. So I don't want to make it seem like I'm not trying to run him down, but in this case, you do have to point out what appears to be a bias.
Well,
right?
Let's play with this too. Some coaches and executives who know Stefanski think he'd be cool getting out of that cesspool now, being home for the holiday. That doesn't mean Stefanski's saying that. That means he could have talked to a coach or a GM in Tampa and been like, hey, what do you think about Stefanski? Well, if I was Stefanski, I'd want to be home for the holidays preparing for new interviews. And then he just goes with it. The person could not know Stefanski at all. The person could be related to Stefanski for all we know.
It does say some coaches and executives who know Stefanski, but I think you're right to the sliding scale of no Kevin Stefanski. One shared a coffee in Indianapolis at the Combine 20 years ago, and the same thing is...
Do they know Stefanski or do they know Stefanski?
But I mean, I do... So, okay, I don't know how you read this, but this is how I read it. That if Kevin thought, I'm going to get fired at the end of the season, if he felt like that was fait accompli, which he's never given anyone indication that that's a case, but if he felt that way, well, I'd rather get fired now, have 6 weeks to recharge, and be able to attack the coaching market in real time, which I think, honestly, is just common sense. I don't think that's the same thing as Kevin Stefanski wants out of Cleveland. Is that fair?
Well, I mean, I think the reason why I'm so interested in the report is because I could see a scenario where Stefanski would want out of Cleveland.
Yeah, which is like
this is not gone, I would imagine, the way that he thought it would go. Yes, he's a bona fide head coach. So going from an offensive coordinator to head coach, check. You've accomplished that part of your career. But I think in my heart of hearts, I believe Stefanski thinks he's like an all-time great at this. And I don't know that you'd settle for 500 record, one playoff win in 5 years. And according to, if you want to believe what everyone tells you, apparently Stefanski's got zero control over anything.
Yeah, so I think what's weird is... Because, I think a lot of the media narrative around Kevin has been created by Kevin through just being a good dude behind the scenes and treating people the right way. And so I think there's a lot of pro-Stefanski narratives that I think you've done the same thing, which I kind of poke back on. This idea that he has no blame on the Deshaun Watson thing is wild. This idea that he didn't have any say on Baker not being here anymore is wild. And... that actually is brilliant PR craftsmanship. He's the head coach of the NFL, so he might not have as much power as, like, who do you think has the most power of any head coach in the NFL? It used to be Belichick. That was an easy one.
I say Andy. I typically say Andy Reid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, 90% of coaches don't have the power that Andy Reid has. That doesn't mean that he has no power at all.
Yeah.
And I think that's been like the thing there. But again, I think that's the idea. Well, it's not Kevin's fault where this team is 5 years in, and he should get out of there because he deserves better than that. That's a little too cutesy for me when he's the head coach of the team.
But think about it, though. It's not even that. It's the idea that this team right now is very directionless. We don't know where they're going. Like, when I ask guests or you ask guests, hey, what's the plan for next year? Are they going to try to win games? Are they going to try to lose games? We have no answer to that, Nick. And so if we don't have an answer to it, I don't think Stefanski has an answer to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine the people that believe that he's safe for this year, and I am a part of that group, you probably wonder, you start next year, he's on the hot seat for sure. So if there's a job out there that is appetizing to him, and this is why I said with the Eagles job, if the Eagles job were open, it's not going to be open now because Sirianni's coached his way into being the guy for a little bit here with this hot stretch. But there was 3-4 weeks ago where it's like, yeah, I could see Stefanski saying, I want a new start in Philadelphia. For sure I could.
What's interesting about that is, because I actually want to take it in a different direction, I think this is all related. The idea of that the Browns are still the cesspool, I think that's all related to going back to when Stefanski was hired, where the thought on this job was the head coach will have no power. And in reality, it's just other people have more power. And I don't mean more power than Kevin. I mean more power than traditionally, like Paul D. Podesta being the lead strategist of something of San Diego. I don't even know what the hell his title is. But I think that's playing into this. I think trying to sell dysfunction in Berea is something that is, well, he... Because, the reason why I think it could be that is...
Well, it's not great right now.
Well, no, but I'm talking about the inner workings of working for Jimmy Haslam and whether it's better than it was 5 years ago when they took over. Because I can see a scenario. If this is true, and again, it's very pro not holding the head coach accountable if you say he has no power. But if it's true that Kevin took the job knowing he'd have less power than most NFL head coaches, I can see a coach saying, 5 years from now, if I have won a playoff game and been to the playoffs twice, I'll have more power. So I could understand if in 5 years he doesn't have more power and he thinks he should have more, and he feels like part of the reason you've had inconsistency is it's too many cooks in the kitchen. I think that is another way to read this that I think is highly possible.
Or he just doesn't like the setup. He doesn't like the setup, doesn't like the direction, doesn't know where this is going, and frankly doesn't want to put his whole entire career in the hands of Haslam and everyone else who's already entrusted for 5 years. He's in a much different spot, Nick, than when he was when he took the job from him being an offensive coordinator in Minnesota.
You mean now, where he was nobody's first choice but the Browns?
Yeah, he's got options now, Nick, and I think he knows he's got options. And if you have options, why would you hang around this situation unless you truly love it? And according to Lock and Fora, people that he talked to, we don't know how close they are with Stefanski, but he'd be cool with getting out of it.
Some level of 6 degrees of Kevin Stefanski.
We don't know. I wonder if these GMs and coaches that he's talking to are just putting themselves in Stefanski's shoes. It's not talking to Stefanski directly. It's just saying, if I was 5 years into being a head coach and seeing where this team is going, which right now looks like basically nowhere, would I be cool with just going back for a 6 year to go back for a 6 year when they have no plan to try to win big in that 6 year?
Well, and in the 6 year, your stock is better now than it is a year from now.
I mean, think about the jobs that could be open potentially. We don't know what's going to come open or not, but what if the Bengals fire Zach Taylor, for instance? You tell me Stefanski wouldn't love to coach Joe Burrow? That'd be his dream.
I mean, I think because the Browns – I actually think the Browns would have some power here because the coaching cycle ramps up right after Thanksgiving. And then they start to interview guys at the end of the season. But we know owners, GMs, all executives are talking to agents the whole time. So we were all pretty flabbergasted that Mike Vrabel, that the Titans had the ability to say, hey, if you want Mike Vrabel, make us an offer. And the ownership group was like, we thought it'd be too much work. That's literally why Mike Vrabel was allowed to walk and then become a consultant for the Browns, despite a year previously. If he had been let go 1 year previously, he would have been the most sought-after coaching candidate. Two bad years in a row did that for him. Feels comparable if Stefanski has another bad year next year. But it does make me wonder if this is true, and I'm going to continue to do that. I don't want to give this full weight because...
Which I think is right of you, by the way.
It's different than literally what anybody else is saying about this situation with Kevin Stefanski and the Browns. But... I could see the Browns telling everybody, we love Stefanski, we love our model. I could see that as part of a front to also say, if you are considering firing him at the end of the season or whatever, if somebody wants to talk to Kevin, all of a sudden there's a price. I could see that being part of a play here on top of you really like the model you have with Kevin Stefanski. Is that too far of a reach?
So they're going to have to trade for Stefanski is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, because
what are we getting in return?
Definitely something.
Definitely. We'll find out how much Jimmy has. What's that structure?
Honestly, it could be anything from being best friends with Kevin Stefanski to having coffee with Kevin Stefanski in the parlance of Jason Lock and Fora saying some coaches and executives who know Kevin Stefanski think he'd be cool getting out of that cesspool now. So basically, whatever the gap is in the extremes on people who know Kevin Stefanski, same thing with what you could get for Kevin Stefanski in a trade.
Ah, those 10-minute Haslam conversations every day.
216-474-0092. I'm just curious what your reaction is to the Jason Lock and Fora piece on the Washington Post.
Like, we just never thought about this side of it, Nick. Like the idea, we're just so like, we got to fight for Stefanski to stay here. We never thought about the other side of it is, what if Stefanski doesn't want us fighting for him to stay here?
If Stefanski wants out... Do you let him out? We're going to continue on with that, guys. Plus, we've got Oh, my gosh. We've got Ross Tucker at 4. We've got so many guests right now, I'm struggling to remember them in real time. Brian Billick at 3. We got Pete Futek at 3:40. Ross Tucker at 4. Devin Bush, Browns linebacker, at 4:40. Daryl Ryder at Carry the 2. 6. We also have quick hits coming up in about 20 minutes here, but more on Stefanski. If Stefanski would want out, huge hypothetical, should the Browns let him out? 92.3 The Fan.